it oftentimes works out that they're the first people with whom, after you've maybe had a meeting with the director or talked on the phone with the director or read the script, the first people you're really coming in contact with is that costume department.
I love fashion, and I love the way it can make you feel, and that's usually what I look for when I'm, you know, looking to dress with Jeff. Either I want to be like complimentary to your outfit, or not match, but you know, have something of a theme.
I am Susie Menkes, and you are listening to my podcast, Creative Conversations. As a journalist reporting on the global fashion industry, I want to take you backstage and give you an insight into my world. Listen to my exclusive conversations with creatives, industry leaders, and those whose voices have some of the greatest impact. I think you might find it interesting and maybe intriguing. Welcome back to Creative Conversations. I'm starting this season off with a surprise duo. She is an Olympian gymnast, dancer, and aerialist. He is a charismatic Hollywood actor. Yes, I'm talking about Emily and Jeff Goldblum. I'm so lucky to have been joined by Emily, an Olympic rhythmic gymnast. For us, she is going to reveal the launch of her latest fitness project. And then there is Jeff Goldblum, Emily's husband, and known, of course, as a powerful music and movie star, best known for the role of Dr. Ian Malcolm in the movie Jurassic Park. Jeff has also conquered the British West End stage and regularly makes music, playing live jazz. We met at an all-Italian dinner in Florence, both artists fascinating, so I just had to take the opportunity to invite them as guests for my podcast. I wanted to hear about their new life with their two boys in Italy, about getting dressed for the red carpet, those amazing gymnastics, and playing the Wizard in Wicked, which opens later this year. What an unusual podcast. We've never had a married couple together before, and doubly unusual because you're my first guests not directly involved with fashion. The reason you're here with me today is we met at a splendid dinner in Florence 2 weeks ago, and I so enjoyed being with you. I just thought it would be so intriguing to have a conversation for everyone to hear. So here we are, remembering that beautiful Brunello Cucinelli dinner, and also wanting to know how you feel, you two, about spending a lot of time in Italy at the moment. Are you giving your family a cultural renaissance around Europe?
Well, the feeling is definitely mutual. You know, we were so in awe to be sat next to you at this beautiful dinner. I'm such a fan of all your work. You're such an inspiration for women, I think, everywhere. So when we hit it off and you asked to do this, I was like, oh my goodness, please. I hope baby will say yes. And you were totally into it.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Susie. And it was fun to meet you. That was a fun event, wasn't it? Boy, he's so wonderful. That whole operation is great. They put us in some nice clothes and you look fantastic. And that place where we were.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And how about that food that they served us?
Molto Italiano in the best way. The Italians know how to do it and how to work hard and have fun. And I wish we could be more like that. You yourselves are based out of Los Angeles with a West Coast Hollywood Hills lifestyle, which sounds pretty good to me. But you're now spending a lot of time in Europe, in Italy, as we've just been talking about. What's the big difference that you feel between being in LA and being in Europe?
Well, I've got to say, we really did it for the boys. We want them to learn Italian, have a little bit of this European base for their education. And I find that, like, one of the main differences is over there, just with my mom group, I feel like people are really social for the sake of being social and hanging out with one another, as opposed to like here, sometimes there seems to be constantly like an alternative reason for getting together. You know, it's not just like, let's have a really nice dinner at mine and then we'll have a nice dinner at yours and all be together and gather. So I find that the Italians, they're very social, just naturally. They love to gather, whether it's for tennis or, like I said, having a nice dinner together. They're just a very social crowd.
It's very beautiful over there. Yeah, we've got two boys. We've got two little boys. They seem to be flourishing, and so does Emily over there. And not that we don't know great people here, and you can have lovely times here, but yeah, it's really pretty. I feel like we've just kind of cracked the tip of the iceberg. There's so much rich history and stuff to learn and look at, and just really beautiful.
But Emily, for you, of course you're looking after your wonderful children, and of course you're enjoying life together, but also you're a very important person in what you do as a gymnast is really serious, and clothes must play an important part in that. You represented your home country, which is Canada, isn't it, in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, and in rhythm gymnastics. I looked that up. Isn't gymnastics always to a rhythm?
So it's rhythmic gymnastics, and it's basically, there's five different apparati, and you only do it on the floor. So the other gymnastics, you're always on a different apparatus, so whether it's on the balance beam. I started with that, but then when I really got serious and had this dream to go to the Olympics, I accomplished that in rhythmic gymnastics. And I trained in Russia with a Bulgarian coach when I was 11. And that's always with the ribbon, the ball, the hoop, the clubs, and the rope. It's very fascinating because it's like a lot of hand-eye coordination, and there's this strength about rhythmic gymnasts that it doesn't seem so obvious, but we're really strong in so many ways that people don't understand until they like would try something that we're actually accomplishing on the carpet.
Can you imagine? I'm still starstruck. I've never even known. I don't think I've ever known very well or even met somebody who was in the Olympics before. And she was the Pan American champion. Was it the year before you went to the Olympics?
Yeah, 1999.
Okay. Can you imagine? Pan American champion. That means the best rhythmic gymnast in all of the North American continent. And she's still amazing in every moment to me. You know, to have achieved that and to be a world-class athlete like she still is just amazing.
To your beautiful words, I'd like to add one other thing. She's such a genius to look so stylish when you're performing and kind of having actual clothes made that are custom made, but they are appropriate and they are proper designer fashion clothes. How did you do that?
Well, I don't know if I can really take credit for that. I mean, what I've been able to do, and I feel smart and lucky to have done, is like transferred my skills as an athlete, a professional athlete, you know, competing at the Olympics, and then turning it into a career in this niche area where Hollywood or movies and commercials needed people like me who are strong and flexible and creative and malleable and can do so many different physical skills. So like, you know, whether it's doubling somebody or being the background dancer for an award show. You know, I was doing for Taylor Swift once at the Grammys. We opened the Grammys. So that shape shifting and being able to do different, whether it's aerial acrobatics where you're 30 feet in the air or on the floor or with the ribbon and tossing it up and then catching it at the right moment with the, you know, precision of the music and hitting those accents. And then I think for that, like, When I'm training, I just have to wear something that I can move in. So that can be anything from, you know, your regular yoga clothes. And then when we're performing, they usually have a designer on set who works with you. And they always have ideas of it, you know, being sometimes a little bit more difficult to move in. And so we find this sort of delicate balance of like, okay, that looks really good, but I can't lift my arm past my shoulder and I need to lift it all the way. So then they cut out things, you know, so they're I would say it's like the creative team behind the scenes that really help make it all happen and look good.
But Jeff, you You yourself are so charismatic. Your image has so much flair. Your approach to dressing is fascinating. What is your wardrobe like? If I crept into your room, what would I find?
I love that. I would love you to creep into my closet at any point. So let's exchange all manner of information, and you can surprise me, or we'll arrange for you to come over. Yeah, you know, I kind of adore my closet at this point. It's part of the renovation, and it's kind of really accommodates this little collection that I've gotten. And I've always kind of been into clothes for one reason or another, even when I was a kid, shopping with my mother. And then when I was set off into the wild on my own in New York and started to study acting, I was very serious about that. So choosing things to wear for your performance was an issue. And my interest in clothes developed along that line too. You know, how you feel when you put these shoes on and everything like that. But if you crept into my closet right now, I'll bet you would be surprised about several things. Several years ago, I was doing a shoot at a photo shoot, and Andrew Vitero came upon. We formed this collaboration, and he's my partner and collaborator and stylist, so-called, in many areas. And I don't think I have a piece of clothing now that was there before. We've sort of transformed everything. And I think you'd, yes, there are a lot of, it's a lively, colorful variety. And I'd love to go over every item with you and give you a fashion show and try everything on for you and tell you exactly what I like and don't like about everything.
I'll come around anytime. But I do think that I might be faulted on one thing, which is your Jacques Marie Mage spectacles. That's what they're called, aren't they? They're very striking. I don't know anything about their history. Tell me more.
Well, I'm wearing them right now. And these are the one of the flavors of the Jeff's so-called frames that we collaborated on. And they were very generous and said, you know, let's make something, because they'd done that before. They have one named after, you know, Dennis Hopper and several other people who've maybe been in movies. And so I came upon these. I was shooting for some magazine, and they said, here, try these on. We have these for you, amongst some others here. And I gravitated toward them. I was thrilled with them right away. I think they gave me a pair. And since then, it's kind of all I want to wear almost. I've got a bunch of them in my closet, including these Jeffs. And yeah, Jerome is the main guy behind that. He's got a little studio here. I think it's just great. They're really great. And I love them. And you have a couple of pairs.
Yeah, Sunnies. I have a pair of sunglasses in the Jeffs.
Yeah. Yeah. And you wear glasses, Susie. I like those glasses.
I'm wearing them so I can see more of you both.
They're very nice. Very, very stylish.
They're my favorite color, purple.
Purple.
Purple's your favorite color? So you liked Prince. I'll bet you like Prince a lot.
Exactly. tell me about the red carpet. Jeff, tell me, how do you bring your Jeff flair for when you've got these events? Have you got a sort of format or basic uniform? Do you like to mix it up? Do you want something that people say, oh, yes, look, that's him?
Well, it's a new kind of phenomenon, isn't it? You know better than I do. I'd love to pick your brain about the whole continuum of how things have changed in the current culture of fashion and art as opposed to commerce and where it's going and all that. But my little piece of it, yeah, I show up when I have to show off, you know, a little bit and try to put my best foot forward. And it always helps to have Emily nearby, who's, you know, it's wildly, you know, exponentially better looking than me. But I, you know, Andrew and I, you know, figure out something. And I have a Tom Ford tuxedo that I pull out that we got married in, actually, and that still is in my closet, and a couple other choices. But my personal nature is to kind of keep changing. You know, I played that character in The Fly, and like Einstein or other people, you know, they have several, you know, copies of the same outfit, so they don't have to think about it. I'm not like that. I'd like to do that sometimes, but really, even if one day I say, Eureka, I've done it. This is me. This is my favorite thing. The next day, I'll kind of put it away and try something else. So that's me, and Andrew too. So we keep fooling around and changing things up.
And only, what about you on the red carpet? I think of you, you might be in a dress, perhaps you're in trousers sometimes, but there's a general feeling that you're quite sort of sleek. You don't have fluffy, frou-frou kind of clothes. as we sometimes see for those events?
I mean, for me, I love fashion and I love the way it can make you feel. And that's usually what I look for when I'm, you know, looking to dress with Jeff. Either I want to be like complimentary to your outfit or not match, but, you know, have something of a theme. And I like to feel comfortable. I like to be able to move in it. Not that I'm going to be doing any crazy gymnastics on the red carpet. I love dresses. Obviously, I love dresses so much. But then other times I want to wear like a nice suit that makes you feel powerful and strong. And I just love that about fashion, how it really can change you. You can feel sensual or sexy or powerful or, you know, athletic. And, you know, I saw a picture of you from back in the day when you were the editor at Cambridge for Varsity. You were wearing these fishnets. So last night I wore fishnets because I was like, I want to embody this like strength, this female. And just like, it just felt almost like a dancer. Like we wear fishnets when we're performing. And I love that you were on this desk editing and wearing these fishnets. And I was like, okay, so I get inspired by people and I get inspired by what I see. And it doesn't necessarily need to be what's happening right now on the red carpets or on the fashion shows, but you gravitate towards people. Like I love Audrey Hepburn and I love the way Jackie Kennedy dressed. And so I feel like I kind of look towards inspiration and then make it my own.
I saw that picture of you too, Susie, in those fishnets. You look fantastic.
What you don't know about that story is that I was at Cambridge University and it was shock horror that anybody should dress like that, not to mention my short skirt. Terrible. I got into big, big trouble about it. When you think what people wear now and what they do, it all seems very hilariously funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's good. I love going into your closet, Emily, and I love the way you dress. You're very self-reliant. You know what you're doing. You know your body. Clothes, the way you move like nobody's business, and how you can make clothes move with you. And I like going shopping with you. And I'm always surprised. She's always kind of getting things and then surprising me. Look, I said, when did you get that? When's that? And last night, I don't think I'd ever noticed those fishnet stockings of yours before, but it did something very powerful to me. And I was just crazy about it. There was even an intentional rip in one of them. So, and she wore these kind of great shoes with it. Oh boy. Yeah. And she was wearing it with a sweater that I had gotten rid of. She has several things now that when I get rid of them, she adopts and looks fantastic in. And I love to see her in them.
And then I actually took one of your Prada black trench coats.
Yes,
and
that
put
I just
it on
got.
Top. That yes. still fit. Obviously, it still fits you. So it was way oversized, but I just enjoyed it so much.
Oh, it was nice. And I'll tell you, we had a great time. We went out for a date night, you know, and went to a restaurant. And I think part of the very positive and exciting time we had to do with something in no little part to what we and what you particularly were wearing. What do you think of that?
I think so. I think so for sure, because it's part of the process. It's that journey. And I think that's what I enjoyed so much about training or putting on a show. It's that process of creating. I like the show. I like the end result. That's fine. But I think I really enjoy that process, the journey, the figuring it out. It's uncomfortable, taking it off, whether it's getting dressed or putting on a show or competing at the Olympics, like those 8 hours of day training, you know, crying, sweating, and then overcoming all of that and putting something beautiful out in the world.
Yeah, I like the crying and the sweating part too. Sometimes at the same time. I like to cry and sweat at the same time.
It's also a fact for both of you that you can't just choose clothes that you like. They've got to be appropriate to your lives. And you both of you seem to do so many things. I mean, Jeff, you're not just a film star, although that's a very important part of your life, but you also have a love of singing, and your jazz band is another part of it. Do you have different clothes that you plan to wear according to what you're doing?
Yes, I do. I have a very nutritious, thanks for mentioning it, musical life. I wake up and in a very disciplined way, like I play my hours homework piano, a routine, which I did this morning and played better than ever, I must say, because that's the way it That's the way it works. If you do it every day, it kind of things grow. And then I like to, like our kids do, because they play piano too. They like to perform for people. I don't know why, I don't know how they got that, but I think it's not unhealthy, maybe, the way they do it. I myself like sharing my music with people, and I do these Mildred Snitzer Orchestra, and I go out and play gigs. We played at Glastonbury. We've played at Ronnie Scott's. We'll be back around and about if all things go well. We're coming out with a new album. But yes, Andrew and I these days cook up a very intentional plan for what I'm going to wear in these gigs. And Prada, you know, we love Mrs. Prada and everything they're doing, have sort of given me some shirts to debut in some of these performances. And yeah, and of course, it has to be appropriate to what I'm doing. And I have to feel, I'm a very kind of tactile. Not only do I like how things look and how they make me feel, but how they feel make me feel a certain way too. Not only the shoes, of course, as you know, your feet need to feel a certain way, and my pants and how, you know, all that. I could go into it. For instance, I don't like, I take tags out of a lot of things. If there's a tag back there, the back of my neck, I'm like the princess and the pea. I'm always, all day long, I'm doing that. So sometimes I remove that.
And is it part of it has to be something that's easy to work in, to sing in or whatever you're doing? Because after all, clothes can be very restrictive. And, you know, I've seen situations when the person who's acting literally just looks uncomfortable in what they're wearing, which cannot be good.
Yeah. And I went to a shirt maker. I was very excited to go to a shirt maker here in Los Angeles because I wanted something very particular around the neck, thinking of making sounds and moving. And, you know, I just went yesterday, was going through all, obsessing on and fetishizing all the details of this shirt, partly so they could accommodate my movement and my singing and my neck and all that. You know how it works. I've worked with some of these costume people, you know, for Wes Anderson, you know, but Milena Cananero, I'm sure you know. Oh, what a genius, you know. I've been really lucky and worked with a lot of great people.
So you're a bit of a wizard at jazz. And talking of wizards, you're playing the wizard in the movie of the musical Wicked, which is coming out next November. What was it like working with Ariana Grande in a musical, being part of the Wizard of Oz legacy? It sounds pretty dramatic and amazing to me.
Dramatic and amazing, absolutely. I had the time of my life. I'm very excited about it. Ariana Grande plays one of the witches, and Cynthia Erivo plays the other one. And to get to be in that and sing with those two ladies, for instance, who have the best voices around, could have been intimidating if not for their super duper warm, cordial, welcoming characters. They were just great. So we had a lovely time. I sang these couple of songs with them. And then between takes, we were singing every show tune and from the American Jazz Songbook that we knew. It was great, but John M. Chu is a fantastic director. I'm very excited about how those are going to turn out. And Michelle Yeoh is in it too, you know? I'm excited about it. And Paul Tazewell, the clothes and the production design, but the clothes, I think, are going to ring the bell.
The famous Oscar-winning costume designer, Sandy Powell, who I see so much of, she's been on my podcast, in fact. She was very interesting to talk to. And you've worked with a lot of people, haven't you?
Yes.
I can't imagine the fun in the costume department when you're there. I imagine you trying things, talking about things, asking them to make new things. Is that how it is?
On these projects, it oftentimes works out that they're the first people with whom, after you've maybe had a meeting with the director or talked on the phone with the director or read the script, the first people you're really coming in contact with is that costume department. And it means a lot to me. You know, it has to be. I'm very particular about, geez, this has got to be right. And I'm still developing the character at that point and all that. And yes, I have loved getting together with, you know, whether it's Milena Cananero or Paul Tazewell, and figuring things out. And sometimes if it's a contemporary thing, I say, you know, how about my closet? You know, I may have things that are right for this character. And some talented costume people will say, well, let me see, let me marry you and the best part of you. How could you play? I may have ideas about this character, but who are you and what do you like and how do you imagine this character and what do you already have? You know, let's use some of you and marry it with a thing. So they've visited my closet and I've donated some things for the show. So all of that. And then sometimes I like to wear some of the stuff before and break it in. And, you know, and as it turns out, I have supplied a lot of, they've allowed me to supply some of the articles of some, in some of the movies, you know, and not that I save things. I'm not a memorabiliaist. So I like to get rid of things.
You've never kept any parts of your costumes from your films, just something from memory?
Some I have. I'll tell you, I have in my closet right now still a beloved leather blazer, that Tom Ford made from that last Jurassic World Dominion movie. I also have the Saint Laurent boots that I wore in the movie that I broke in, made a big effort to break in before I had to be on the set. And, you know, so I got a couple of things like that, yeah.
Yes, happy memories. At least I hope they're happy. So, obviously, Italy is somewhere that you really love, both of you. And it's also one of the great centres of fashion. What draws you to Italy? I suppose it might be the fashion, it might be shopping, but there might be something else in Italy that both of you love, secret shops, people who make things by hand, ice cream parlours perhaps. What about some tips for when I come back in a couple of weeks to Italy?
Good question.
Oh, yeah, the food. You can't get better food than in Italy. It's just... And in Florence, we're always enjoying, of course, like you said, the gelatos. There's a place right close to Quattro Leoni.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's won a bunch of awards, but it's a small little place. There's usually a line outside.
Yeah, that's right.
And they really have interesting flavors, you know.
Every day they're changing. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good. So we get that sometimes. There's a restaurant called Camillo that we love, and we love the people there.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really good...
Antinori's another one.
Antinori. And then we've been around and about. We went to Bologna to do some cinema event there, and there was a great restaurant there, you know. We're going around and about.
Yeah.
Where were we?
What one of the things is in Italy, there's just so much to learn, you know.
Yeah.
Even in Florence, you could spend, you know, a decade learning about the history and how they've, you know, offered so much to the world. And that's just Florence, you know, that's not even the rest of Italy. And there's so much to see, whether it's the architecture or the art or the fashion or the food, you know. So I think it's just,
yeah,
it keeps you young when you're constantly trying to learn. And I think that we're learning through the boys. You're constantly learning. You're learning on how to be a better parent, how to, you know, better understand them. And then, yeah, now we're learning the Italian language, which is not as easy as I thought it would be.
But she's very good. She's learned much faster than I have. And we've bought a couple of items in there. The people at the Prada store are fantastic. The Brunello Cucinelli people were fantastic in the store. But I went to the Borsellino store and got a couple of hats. And I went to this place called Dexter on Via Maggio and got a couple of pair of pants. And it's really nice. And then, yes, the art there and the architecture and the people and the tennis. There's a lot of fun stuff going on.
I think one of the things that's so different and that we were looking for is it's basically living very different lifestyles. Like in LA, we're in the car and yes, it's sunny all the time. We don't have as many seasons. Whereas like in Florence, we step out of the apartment and you can walk to a dozen museums, many restaurants, many shops, all walkable, all these things that we don't associate with or do in LA just because it's not possible.
It's not a big city. It's like when I used to live in New York. You know, there's a real street life there that is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, Emily, don't you also love to dress your boys in Italy, because there's not just sporty things. You can find all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I would fit everything into my suitcase to get back to somewhere, because I'd have bought so many things.
I know. And honestly, sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish they enjoyed more of the fashion. But I think they're really, right now, They are obsessed with soccer, tennis, Mbappe. So they want to dress in Nike and sneakers. And now Charlie recently, he has long curly hair, but he cut it. And so he's wearing like these sporty headbands because I showed him a bunch of like tennis stars because we used to always put it up in sort of like a bun because it was really long. And now he's wearing these like tennis kind of headbands and just keeping his hair down because it's not so long. And so I don't know. I really love dressing them up in, I think it's a Spanish brand called the Animals Observatory. It's very colorful. It doesn't really feel like it's only feminine or only masculine. Like the colors are for everybody. And they wear that sometimes if I'm like, please wear this. We're going somewhere nice.
Yeah, but they've got the best quality, I think. They're my fashion icons in a way because they don't bow to or are influenced by or susceptible to, you know, of course, the culture yet, hopefully never, the culture of, you know, here's what's the right thing to wear. Here's what might get you noticed. But they do have a very strong opinion about and passion for what they want to put on, what they don't want to put on, which has to do with their, I don't know, emerging so-called identity and what feels good and what, you know, even climate, even if you say, it's cold out, put a jacket on. No, no, you know, so their blood must run in a very particular way and they know themselves better than we do many times. Mm-hmm. But how about you? We've had two boys and sometimes it's a handful. You had three boys. You have three boys. What was that like? Did they, ours sometimes fight with each other, you know, and it's, there's much chaos and hilarity around the house. But how was it for you and with clothing too?
When I came with clothes with my three boys, I was relentless. I simply passed the clothes on from one to the other. And there's no surprises here that my third son is really interested in fashion, always wanting something different. And that was his way of saying, I'm not the same as the others and I'm not going to put their old clothes on. So it's funny how things could alter, fashion can alter character.
Clothing can really be an expression of the deepest part of your creative individuality and who you are in the world. And it can reflect every bit of that. And it can be a real therapy, meditation, vehicle. I'd love to come to see your closet. I wonder what you have in your closet at this point. I wonder if you've got things that have been there for years or what you take in or your own taste. That would be so, that would be an education. That would be a whole college course.
You'll have to wait to find out. But if you're coming to London, who knows? You might get inside my closets.
So, that would be a dream come true.
It's time that we moved away from Italy, wonderful as it is, and talk a bit about London, because you've been there a lot in terms of what you have produced. And it started very early, didn't it? Wasn't the tall guy in the 1980s? Was it as early as that?
It sure was. It was Emma Thompson's first movie. It was Richard Curtis's first script that he wrote. I was crazy about it. Had a wonderful time there. I've always been into things British. I've read all of P.G. Woodhouse, you know. Love British cinema and humor. Oh, yeah. I've done a lot there and plays and this and that. And, you know, we filmed Wicked there. Mm-hmm. We were at Sky Elstree Studios, you know, and...
And Jurassic World England. We spent part of the pandemic.
Early in COVID.
In a bubble.
They sent us to... We were at... Pinewood Studios.
You were at Pinewood Studios, yeah.
Yes, yes. You know, where all the Bond movies, you know, and not to mention, we've just shown the boys. I'll bet you had an experience, or maybe you even knew Sean Connery. We've shown them Dr. No, and From Rush with Love, and Goldfinger, and Thunderball, and they're crazy about it. I think we're going to go through all of them.
And speaking of inspiration, River, our youngest, really wanted to start dressing like Bond.
Yes.
So he would put on a nice sweater, button-up sweater, knitted sweater.
This is like James Bond. I want something like James Bond. I'm James Bond. And he goes around and acts like James Bond. Oh, yeah. I did, too, because those were the movies that came out when I was just a young teenager at the perfect time. Oh, no, I was crazy about the way Sean Connery looked and what he was wearing, which I saw again, you know, in Goldfinger at the golf course. Amazing.
What do you two do, particularly in London, when you're not buying clothes for your children or whatever. Do you go to the theatre a lot? Because that is one of the great things in London.
Yes, sure even is. Before children. We went to see Matilda when we were dating, and then we went and showed the boys last year.
That's right.
We also went to Harry Potter.
Because Matthew Warchus, with whom I'd worked at the Old Vic, did Matilda. Yes. Yeah. And we see many things. I just worked with Janet McTeer. The great Janet McTeer played my wife in Chaos, a show that's going to be on Netflix this next year. And I play Zeus, we're the sort of a modern version of the Greek characters. And she, I know, was on stage. I missed it. I wish I would have seen her recently in one of the great Greek tragedies. She's a powerhouse.
And I think we saw Eddie Redmayne before.
Yes.
In a Shakespearean, in a small theater before he... You know, just before he blew up.
Oh, he was fantastic. Oh, yes, I've been to the Donmar. That was at the Donmar, I think.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We love going to the theater there. And the last thing we saw was with the boys and Emily. We took them just before I had to film Wicked. I wanted to remind myself of the stage show again. So we went to London, saw Wicked on stage there. And bawled my eyes out during the whole thing, seeing it through their eyes. And... had a great time. Then went backstage, like I like to do these days, and they were very nice.
Yeah.
And you know, we took pictures and this and that. And
Well, Emily, you flattered me in Florence when we were there together, saying that you're a big fan of my podcast. And so I thought I'd bring that up here, since you're making a podcast right now. And who else do you follow in fashion? I saw that we talked a couple of times about Prada, and I see that you went to a Prada fashion show in Milan. Do you have the heroes of fashion and heroines that you want to dress with?
I mean, I love Prada because... For so many reasons, they just seem to, I like a bit of a uniform and like a nice t-shirt. I love the Prada t-shirts, their turtlenecks, and even my workout wear. I have this, because I have a kind of a crazy long neck, and they have this beautiful crop top that's like Lycra, but it's got a long neck. And it just, I find like my neck can get sore quickly or easily or cold. So if I warm up and then it gets cold. So I don't know. I gravitate towards many different designers, but I love Prada. I love Margiela. I was obsessed with their new porcelain doll-like face makeup that they did. And I even watched an old interview with you with your top three fashion shows. And Margiela was one of them, Christian Lacroix, and then Comme des Garçons. I also love Comme des Garçons. So I think I'm constantly learning, constantly exploring, and coming from a place of I don't know anything, but I know what I like when I feel it on, and I love trying and exploring. And I think not being afraid, or maybe inside being afraid of making mistakes, but I think that it's I tell the boys, that's how we learn. So be bold, make a mistake, and then learn from it. And I'm lucky, obviously, that I'll try an outfit on and be like, Andrew, what do you think? And then we just switch out one thing and it makes it all work. Cause I'll be like, something's not working with this. And, can you help? Or, you know, so.
They're always excited to dress her in the stores, you know, because they go, oh my gosh, look at that. That's the way it's supposed to look. You know, that dress or something. It's it's great. Yeah, look at her neck. It's, you know, Modigliani. I gave her a book early on of all of Modigliani's paintings because, you know, he does those paintings of the women with the long necks. And, you know, you can imagine her with one of those. You've got a couple of those chokers, right? Those those little things. My golly.
Mm-hmm. I love this compliment. It's so beautiful. But actually, in my research, it's rather slightly less glamorous. I realized that you were a body double. Can this be possible for Emma Stone in La La Land?
Yeah.
What is a body double? I don't think I've ever met one.
I know. It's sort of, it's basically doing the skill, the hard part that they're acting. They need to, you know, create the character, and then I come in when they have to fly through that observatory scene where she's waltzing through the stars with Ryan Gosling. So we did that on a rotating harness and, you know, 20 feet up in the air with another aerialist who, you know, you develop these muscles and the endurance. Like when I came off of the harness, they were so sweet. Mandy Moore was the choreographer. Damien Chazelle was the director, and I'd worked with Damien Chazelle. Oh, no, I worked with Damien Chazelle after on Babylon. You know, I love, like I was saying earlier, I love that process. So they'd be like, oh, do you want to come down for a break? And I was like, no, let's keep going. Like, I'm happy to keep going. And so we keep going. And then by the end of the day, the next day, all these bruises appear on my legs. And so, like, I think that's what a body double is somebody who's got the core strength, who's got the skills and the endurance, who can do these lovely or dangerous scenes that the actor cannot do, so that they can keep making the movie and the actor's not out for.
I work hard. I pride myself on my work ethic, but when she tells me that, hey, you know, I go, hey, these shoes are not, I can't work if the shoes aren't really comfortable. She goes, I don't really feel like I'm working unless my feet are bleeding. You know, I go, no, I think we're different. This is where we part ways. I think I have a different approach.
Well, yeah, but I think that's also, I grew up from like 11 training with a Bulgarian coach who's got the same mentality as like that old USSR communist like grit. Yes. And then I trained in Russia and I just... I love that about the training and how it just makes you stronger and more resilient and, you know, you can take a little bit of criticism.
I think it would be so useful in my work when I'm always asked to be in 10 places at once.
Yeah, I'll be your body.
And you can go around dressed like me. You have to put my hairstyle on.
Yes, I would love that.
That's nice. And like, she'll wear all your clothes.
Like, what's that hard? That artist's name who dresses up as different people.
Oh, Cindy Sherman.
Cindy Sherman, yeah. I'll be a little Cindy Sherman, but just for Susie Menkes.
As I told you, I've just come back from Paris, from the Haute Couture, and I see that the city is already very much preparing for the Olympics. Will you both be going to Paris to watch?
Oh, yes. Can we?
We've been in Paris with them before. We were there one New Year's Eve. Remember, we were standing on
the... Well, I have family that lives there. My great aunt, Tata Raymond, who's on my mom's side, her dad's sister.
Hi, Tata Raymond.
Yeah, she's still with us. So she, you know, lives really close to the Père Lachaise Cemetery. And so I always love going back. And I went back last year for my birthday with a bunch of girlfriends to Paris.
Oh, yeah.
But I would love, we haven't any plans as of right now to go to Paris
for the Olympics.
When is it? This summer.
Oh, let's
go. It's the Summer Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go. I'm training now. I hope to qualify in several events. Don't crush my dreams. I really want to be in those Olympics. And then you can have
For which event?
Several of them, you know, all the, you know, whatever they do, the jumping, running, and skipping.
skipping.
All those.
I'm going to be there and I'm going to be cheering you on, both of you, to see you win. And I shall feel so proud for you. And after all the things you've told me right now that you do, both of you, that you can do, that you will do, that you want to do, you are wonder family. So it's been great talking to you.
Well, Thank you, Susie. At your feet. You're just this is the highlight of my entire life so far, talking to you.
And I want to mention one thing, if you don't mind. Because I'm launching my fitness brand, and it's launching in Florence, March 19th, at the studio called The 22. We're going to have a little event with some press from Florence, and it's going to be pretty exciting because I teach there right now. I teach every Tuesday at The 22, and it's basically rhythmic gymnastics, but made simpler for everyday people, but we're working really hard. Everybody seems to love it right now, and it's been resonating really well with the crowd in Florence.
And my birthday is the 22nd, so 22. I'm not a numerologist, but 22 means a lot to me, and you're at the 22. Mm-hmm. How about that? But wait a minute, your birthday, Susie, is the night before Christmas, December 24th. How is that? Is that a good day to have your birthday on? Because her birthday is January 4th, and she's always like, oh, people are burnt out from the holidays and New Year's Eve, and I always get short shrift on my birthday. How about you with the night before Christmas and all through the House of Gucci?
People for years were so mean, they would say to me, so we just got you one present because we thought that it's your birthday tomorrow, and so you'll get some one mean thing. And so all my life I thought how unfair the world is. But somehow I've managed to get over it. And
I'm so sorry. That
I
must
have
be
hope. Then I can get over it too.
That's
then
a deep wound.
Because the same thing with January 4th. I remember, like, since a child, they're like, "Oh, my grandparents, like, here's your gift, you know, for Christmas.
We're going to send you special things on your birthday."
The most special thing I've had is a chance to meet up with you, talk with you, as though we were old friends. I'm the old part, and you're the friends.
Mm-hmm. No, you're younger than springtime. Hey, do you know what's your favorite movie about fashion? Is it Phantom Thread or Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant or Zoolander? What would be your favorite movie about
fashion? Probably none of them, because it's one of the mysteries of my life, the way that there has been no film that really captures the spirit. There's always things that are supposed to make people laugh, you know, people wearing two shoes that don't match each other and so on, which I find very unfunny. And here's your big chance, because so many of the biggies have thought that they could do it and it hasn't really worked. So I think it's definitely in your next movie that you do would be perfect.
Well, there's a part for you, I'm sure, if I do that. I like Phantom Thread, but Robert Altman. Hey, remember Robert Altman with whom I worked a few times, made a movie, Prêt-à-Porter. Did you ever see that?
I did. No comment.
Okay. Hey, you speak French, I'll bet. You know, I'd like to hear the two of you speak French together. Emily speaks kind of almost exclusively French to the boys, and they speak French now, yeah.
Et des fois, ça l'embête un peu.
Je crois que c'est le moment quand il faut se préparer pour quelque chose qui va se passer dans 10 semaines. Donc, encore de la mode. Et moi, je serai là. J'espère que vous aussi, vous serez là pour voir tout ce qu'on présente pour la nouvelle année.
Les autres défilés, oui, j'aimerais être là. Peut-être on y sera.
This is what I was waiting for. I love this. I know a bit of a song, Je pense à Fernanda, but that's all I know. I won't go further than that.
It's been such fun talking to you. Well, we could never stop, but I think perhaps you wouldn't fit in with that. What do you think?
I'm already sad. You're so sweet to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for inviting us on and, you know, making this happen. It's a dream come true.
Late fun. We'll see you soon, I hope, in the flesh.
Indeed, I hope so too. Thank you so much, Jeff and Emily. I love talking to you both, creeping around each other's closets, hearing about your approach to clothes, and we all want to hear more about the life you have made with your two sons in both Florence and LA. Through it all shines your love for each other. Wishing you all the best for your 22 fitness brand, Emily. And Jeff, I can't wait to see you as the wizard. Join me next time. I'll be with an unexpected duo, Jean-Paul Gaultier and Simone Rocha, discussing their latest couture collaboration in Paris. Creative Conversations with Susie Menkes is produced by Natasha Cowan, music by Jörg Zuber, graphics by Paul Wallace, and edited by Tim Thornton. To find my articles, visit susiemenkes.com and susiemenkes on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast, then please do rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. You can find me on all the usual channels.